Fasting is not a popular word. In a day where it seems like that the golden arches are on every corner and hamburger and pizza places just abound everywhere, it seems like that it's kind of out of the touch to talk about fasting. In America, where usually our choices is not can we eat today, but what are our options for eating today, it seems like that fasting is a little bit out of line. And you know, you can't hardly turn on the TV or go anywhere without someone showing you a picture of food. But we know that fasting is a biblical concept. We will go to practically any means necessary to get food or water when we need it. In a day when even to miss one meal is an event, to talk about fasting just seems a little bit out of the times. Now, I know what you're thinking immediately as you look up here at the platform today. I'm not exactly a poster boy for fasting. You know, I've preached I'm very near 1,500 sermons that I've preached in my life. This is only the second time that I've ever preached on the topic of fasting. So we have to ask ourselves, is this a first century thing, or is this something that is meant to be a Christian principle? Is this one of those Old Testament things where they prayed for a national disaster events? Or is this something that we can incorporate into our lifestyle? Is this kind of the responsibility of just those cloistered monks that kind of gather together and do those kind of things? Or is this something that is expected of believers in Christ? Well, I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew today, Matthew chapter 6. And I want to read verses 16 through 18 for you. This is the voice of Jesus as he talks about this particular issue. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, what does he mean when he talks about fasting? We need to clear up a couple of things right away. Fasting does not simply mean going without food. That's called dieting. And that is totally different. But when we talk about fasting, we're not talking about just the absence of food. We are talking about a biblical fasting, which is refraining from food for a spiritual purpose, not a physical purpose. And when you see the word fasting in Scripture, it almost always, and I can't guarantee you 100%, but nearly always, it is combined with prayer. Prayer and fasting. They fasted and prayed. They fasted and set aside this day. And so when we talk about a biblical fast, it is a Christian discipline, which is one of the most neglected, I think, in Scripture. And as I was preparing for this message this week, I went back and read all of the passages on fasting, and I was amazed at how many, I didn't count them, but I was amazed at how many passages of Scripture there are about fasting. And yet most of us really kind of put it aside. Fasting is a biblical concept. It is not just something that we've thought up as a discipline to add to our life. In fact, in the Old Testament, there was a special national day of fasting for the Jewish people of the day. It was called the Day of Atonement, or today we would call it Yom Kippur. It happens in the fall. And that was the day in which all of the people would come into the temple, and there would be a national day of fasting. And at the conclusion of that, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, and he would make atonement for the sins of the people. In 1963, Israel was attacked by Jordan and Egypt and Syria on Yom Kippur. And most people feel like that the reason they chose that day to attack Israel was because it was a national day of fasting and mourning. And they thought they're going to be in the synagogues. They're going to be not able to get to their arms and so forth. And indeed, it was a surprise attack. But the difference that they thought about was this. Fasting doesn't make you weak. It makes you strong.
And so within 6 days, Israel had defeated the enemies that had come against them. It may surprise you to note that there were 12 different Old Testament patriarchs that talk about fasting and that said that they did fast or they had a period of fasting in their lives. In the Old Testament now, fasting primarily seems to be for two or three reasons. One was for penance for their sins or the sins of the national organization or the national nation, because God would come to them and say, you know, you're doing wrong, and they would say, yes, you're right. And so they would repent in sackcloth and ashes. They would declare a day of fast, and they would repent for either personal sins, as David did in Psalm 51, or for national sins. Now, when we get into the New Testament, there's another grouping of fasting scriptures, but on these, none of them are for penance for sins, because we've moved from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant, and now we have a covenant by faith. And so when there is fasting that takes place in the New Testament, it was primarily that which would prepare them for what was to come. So it would prepare them to make a big decision. It would prepare them for some kind of a major event that was happening in their life. You recall that they went into the upper room and they were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. And so it's a little bit different. In Luke chapter 4, we find the story of Jesus, and it says that Jesus fasted for 40 days. What he was doing with that situation was preparing for his ministry. And so he wanted to be prepared for that. And so he fasted for 40 days. And of course, you know the story. When he came out of the wilderness, he was immediately tempted by Satan. Now let's go back to the passage that I read for you here. This passage is found in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is chapters 5, 6, and 7 in Matthew. So in the middle of this, Jesus gives this set of teachings. And in chapter 6, in verse 2, he says, so when you give to the needy. In chapter 6 and verse 5, he says, and when you pray. And then in chapter 6 and verse 16 and 17, he says, and when you fast. Now, I don't think there's a single individual in here that would not say that the Bible talks to us and ask us to give unto the Lord. I think that's a pretty much of a given. I think there's probably no one in this room as a believer in Christ that would say, well, you shouldn't pray. There's nothing to that. We all recognize that when Jesus says, when you pray, he is talking about when you experience this in your life. Now, he uses the very same Greek introduction, the very same words in chapter 6, verses 2, 5, and 16, the exactly identical. When you give, when you pray, when you fast. So there is a biblical mandate for us, even though we haven't followed it very well, and even though we haven't done it very well along through church history, it is still a biblical mandate for us as to when you fast. Now let me pause for just a moment here. This is kind of a teaching today rather than a preaching, so I hope you're following along with me, because we're going to be going through several scriptures. There are some things that fasting does not do. There's some illegitimate reasons for fasting, as we talked about back in Isaiah chapter 58, and we'll return there later. The first thing is this. What fasting does not do, fasting does not make God love you more. God loves you with an indescribable love that we sang about today. God loves you just as much whether you fast or whether you don't fast. God loves you just as much as he always has. And so we can't say, well, if I fast, maybe God will love me more. No, that's not the truth. God loves you supremely. The second thing is this. Fasting is not a way to manipulate God to get what you want. In Isaiah 58, it says they were fasting, but they were only fasting to get what they want. And when they didn't get it, they said, hey, this doesn't work. Forget it. God is not a barterer. God is our Savior. My Redeemer lives. God is sovereign. He is God. We are not. And therefore, when we come to God, we can't say, well, God, I'll do this for you if you'll do this for me. God don't play like that. God says, I am God. You are my child. You're welcome to come to me. I want you to come to me. I want to bless you, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, with all kinds of things, but I don't barter with you. I am God. The third thing is this. Fasting is not a substitute for obedience. It's not saying, okay, since I fast, I can go out and do whatever I want to. Isaiah 58 said, after they fasted, they went out and continued to do the same wicked things they had always done. And he says, it doesn't do you any good if that's that's the way you're expecting. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So now what we have to say is, what does fasting, what kind of rewards do we have if we fast? Because God wants to reward us. God wants to bless us in many different ways. And let me give you at least five that I have found from the scriptures that I have looked at this particular week. The first one is this. We began the service this way today. Fasting helps us to focus on God. We start with God and not our problems. We start by saying, I want a deeper appreciation of who God is. He is beautiful. He is my Savior. He is the individual that I look to. He is the one that has created me and given me life. And you know, I believe that the people who are in this sanctuary this morning, almost without exception, are individuals who want a deeper relationship with Christ. I think you've come here because you want a more intimate, devotional life with God. And we live in a world where there are so many different competing factions that sometimes it's very difficult to focus in on God because we have so many other things going on in our life. And we kind of take God as kind of a little side item that we throw in once in a while rather than focusing in on him. I'm going to show you a little video about a guy who talks about this and fasting and how it relates to focusing in on God.
I really want to answer this call. Oh. And then after that, make a few texts, update my Facebook status, tweet about it, shop for a deal on a new laptop, write on my blog about the experience of shopping for a new laptop, tweet about blogging about the experience of shopping for a new laptop. And even though my brain and my flesh are demanding that I play with this thing, I'm not. Not because it's bad, not because I can't live without it, but I'm stepping back from this beautiful little piece of technology. I'm taking the time that I would have spent on that, and I'm spending it on my relationship with Christ instead. Yes, I'm talking about fasting. And I know what you're thinking. Why'd you have to go there? Isn't that a bit extreme? And I get it. I really do. But truth be told, if it was so important to Jesus, it's got to be important for us. I mean, the dude didn't just fast. He went into the desert and slept with coyotes and snakes and didn't eat anything for 40 days. I get agitated when my pillow gets lumpy. Can I just confess something to you? I am all about me, and I hate that. I want to be all about him. I want his will for my life. And if that means giving up a phone or a few meals, some TV, in order to get closer to the God of the universe who daily showers me with grace and love and holds me in his hands, what a small price to pay. I'm ready to take the focus off of me.
fasting takes the focus off of me and puts it on Christ. Those of you who have more than one child know that there are some special family times that are unique and wonderful. This summer we're going to have Carol's mother's 90th birthday party, and all of our family members are going to come in, and we're going to laugh and cut up and pull pranks on each other and have a lot of fun, and that's wonderful. But there are some times when you just want to get alone with one family member, whether it's your child or your wife or someone else, and you want to just spend some quality time with them. You know, when we come together every Sunday morning, this is the family gathering. There's a lot of people here. We sing together. We enjoy each other's company. And the Bible tells us that we should forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. That's what we should do. But there's other times where we need to get alone, just one-on-one with God. And those times are even tougher than coming on Sunday morning. Because there's cell phones. There's television. There's all kinds of demands upon our time. There's kids that demand our attention. There's all kinds of issues that come into play when we try to do that, and it's difficult. And so when I'm talking about fasting this morning, I'm talking about getting alone and just centering on God and spending some time with Him. Just you and God. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 2, it says, "And while they were worshiping God, the Holy Spirit said to them, set aside Paul and Barnabas for this particular mission." What we do when we come together, our services reflect this issue. When we come together, we minister to God. That's what we have done for the first 45 minutes of the service today. We've sung to God. We've told Him how much that we love Him. We focused in on Him. We prayed to Him. We gave to Him. And then we come to this moment in time where we say, "Okay, Lord, now that I've talked to you and I've shared with you my income, I've shared with you our prayers, I want to hear what you have to say to me." Now that doesn't mean you got to hear me, because certainly my wisdom is a thimbleful compared to God's wisdom of the ocean. But what we say during the time that we look at our scripture is, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." No matter what Pastor Bates says, I want your Holy Spirit to speak to my inner heart, and I want you to minister to me now that I've ministered to you. Fasting is a form of worship. It is offering our bodies as a living sacrifice, according to Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, which is our reasonable act of service. In fasting, we are praying with our bodies as well as our minds. Fasting strengthens our discipline. Any of you have any problems with discipline? No? Okay, I can go on then. Americans are notoriously undisciplined people, and I'm an American, so I can say that about us. We eat too much, we drink too much, we spend too much, we text too much, we work too much. In a world of whatever feels good, just simply do it, discipline is one of those words we don't like to talk about a lot. It is a difficult thing to dethrone King's stomach. It takes discipline to deny our physical food so that we can be nourished with the spiritual food that God wants to give to us. And too many times as Christians, and I mean this for myself as well as everybody else, too many times as Christians, we're overfed with the body and underfed with the Word of God. And in many respects, our stomach is kind of like a spoiled child. Some of you are probably grumbling already. Your stomachs are grumbling, especially second service. This will be a very apt illustration for them. So what do you do with a spoiled child when they start to grumble and grumble? You don't give them what you want. Because if you do that, you're putting yourself in a bad situation. You give them what they need. You discipline them. You take care of them. Because if we're not careful, the flesh will take over and cause you to do all kinds of things that are ungodly. The flesh craves what is sensual, not what is godly. The flesh craves what is immediate, not what's good for the long run. The flesh says, "Give me now, I want it, I need it." Whether you're talking about your stomach, or whether you're talking about your eyes, or whether you're talking about your situation with other members of the opposite sex, that flesh constantly comes in for you. And in order to discipline that in fasting, we are saying, Lord, I want to focus in on you today. Now let's turn back to Isaiah 58 that I read earlier this morning. In Isaiah 58, there is a third reward that God gives us. And it's a great reward. God frees us from bondage when we fast. He begins this section by saying, yeah, you were fasting, but you weren't doing it right. You were simply trying to manipulate me to get what you wanted, and then when I didn't give it to you, you said, oh, this doesn't work, forget it. You asked me for wisdom, and when I gave it to you, you didn't follow through on it. But then, in verse 6, he says, this is not the kind of fasting I want. Here's what I want you to do. Listen to these words in verse 6. Loose the chains of injustice. Untie the cords of the yoke. Set the oppressed free. Break every yoke. You notice what's happening here? He's saying when you fast, I'm going to loosen, I'm going to untie, I'm going to set you free, I'm going to break a yoke that's on you. The yoke might be oppression. It might be depression. The yoke might be alcohol. The yoke might be an addiction of some kind, pornography. The yoke might be worried. You're just choked with worry over the situation that you're trying to face. It's just taking all the life out of you. And he says, in fasting, if you will fast before me, I will help to loose that and break it loose from you. Satan all the time is trying to bind us, and Christ is trying to free us. Isn't it interesting that Satan sometimes uses food to try to trip us up? Do you remember the original story of Adam and Eve? He polished up the fruit and said, Eve, you want this for lunch? She said, sure. Do you recall the story of Esau who sold his birthright because he did not discipline his stomach and gave in for the craving of food rather than the craving of God's blessing? Do you recall the story of the Israelites as they were coming forth from Egypt? And as they were moving through the desert, they began to complain, and God had to chasten them and to discipline them because of that. When we fast, we are with a spiritual fast now, not just dieting. When we fast, we're going on a hunger strike against the powers of hell that would try to entrap you and enslave you and to bind you up. Christ wants to set you free. Amen. Thank you. Fasting precedes victories. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I'm not going to turn there for sake of time, but in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, there is a story about a king of Judah by the name of Jehoshaphat. And I think the Bible that sometimes just kind of makes me laugh. It's so humorous and ironic. Can you imagine? He's getting ready to tell a story about fasting, and the guy's name is Jehoshaphat. And so Jehoshaphat gets the news. Your enemies are all around you. They're surrounding you. You've got no hope. You might as well give up. And so Jehoshaphat brings his generals together and says, what should we do? And they said, let's proclaim a national fast. Not just for the men. He says, for the men, for the women, for the children, and for the animals. Even the puppies didn't get any puppy chow that day. He says, we're going to fast. Because we need God to deliver us, and we're tied up, we're bound up, and if we don't do something quickly, we are going to be destroyed. And therefore, he declared a national fast of all of the people of Israel, at least all the people in that section of Israel at that time. And it says that from that, God raised up a prophet who spoke to King Jehoshaphat and gave him specific instructions. You can read about it in that chapter, but I'm not going to give it to you right now. But Jehoshaphat then set his sentries out, and it says that he easily defeated an army that was many times his size, and it says that after it was over, get this one, it took them 3 days to carry back all of the plunder that they won from the war. He went from being totally enslaved, totally bound, to being so free that God rewarded him with 3 days with all of these things that came back to him. You recall the story, and again, I think I'm just going to give you the stories rather than point, go to them and read them. The story of Esther. Esther was a queen, and the word came to her that the king is going to destroy your race. And what are you going to do? And so Queen Esther called a fast, and she fasted for days. And then she went before the king, and when she did so, it said God gave her favor. when she went before the king, and he said to her, I have heard you. I'm going to call off this decree that all the Jews will be killed and so forth and so on. Fasting precedes victories. In Acts chapter 13, the church fasted together, and God said, set apart for me Paul and Barnabas, and they will go out and be my missionaries. And you know the stories that happened from there. In Acts chapter 14, they said, who should be in charge of this congregation? And Paul and Barnabas were trying to decide, who should we appoint as the leader of this? And in chapter 14 of Acts, it says, and they fasted and prayed, and God revealed to them who the leadership should be. Fasting preceded the victories. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, and this is not in the NIV, but in the King James Version, it said that this individual had a demon within him. And Jesus said to them, this kind can only come out by prayer and fasting. Now here's the fifth reward of fasting. Fasting changes us, even when it doesn't change the outcome of our circumstances. In Isaiah, the people got angry because God didn't give them the desired results. We are not twisting God's arm when we are fasting. We are preparing for what is to come. You can ask of God. He says, come boldly before the throne of grace and ask of me. But you cannot tell God what to do. In a fast, we are actually positioning ourselves to say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. In a fast, we are saying, Lord, I will accept your will for whatever's happening. We are preparing ourselves to face the future. And ultimately, we have to leave the result to God. We have to leave the results to him. We don't know always God's direction, God's plan, God's issues for us for the future. But in fasting, it enables us, just like Jesus in the garden. He wasn't fasting that night, but as he prayed, he said, Lord, I would really like for this cup to be taken from me. I don't really want to do this. But if it's your will, I'm willing to accept it and move on. Now, how do we apply this to our life? Well, first of all, I'm going to ask a favor of those of you who wish to participate. This coming Wednesday, on April the 21st, I'm going to ask for all of you who would like to declare a fast for spiritual purposes, not for dieting, for spiritual purposes. I'm not telling you specifically what to fast for. That's between you and God. But I do know this. There are many issues that we are facing congregationally. There are some issues that you are facing individually or as a family. There are issues that are facing us nationally that are very troubling. And we need to deal with those issues. We need to say, Lord, I want to position myself to hear what you have to say. I hope and believe that some of you will fast for Pastor Lisa. Pastor Lisa has been an incredible person over the past 2 years. And she has gone through some extremely difficult circumstances. She has maintained her faith. She has maintained her attitude. She is an individual that I have the utmost and highest respect for. But she needs our help. Some of you may want to fast for Lisa. Some of you may want to fast and say, I have this issue in my life. I see Greg back here, and we know that Greg also has a cancer situation. There are others that we pray for that have cancerous situations. And you may just say, I want to fast specifically for whatever. There might be others of you that just say, you know, I don't want to specifically pray for just one person, but I've got several needs. That's great. There's nothing wrong with that. We're facing a business meeting next week. It's a critical business meeting. We believe this is the will of God, but we want to know for certain that the congregation is behind us as we move forward. We know that nationally, we got lots of issues nationally, and this is not a political statement, but we've got lots of issues nationally that are very critical for our future. Maybe you want to fast about that. Now, let's talk about the process of fasting just a little bit. You have to decide that between you and God. I know that some of you may have medical situations and medical issues, and we're certainly not asking you to do something that's against your doctor's advice. If you're a diabetic or hypoglycemic or you're pregnant or whatever the issue is, you have to decide that yourself. Don't just simply do that. Some of you might want to fast one meal. Some of you might want to fast two meals. I'm going to fast for 24 hours. Not that you have to, but that's what I'm going to do this coming Wednesday. And I'm going to just seek the Lord and say, Lord, speak, for thy servant heareth. I want to know how I should respond, how I should deal with these particular issues that I happen to be facing. And I'm going to ask for those of you who would like to, if you would fast this Wednesday, one meal, two meals, 24 hours, all day, whatever it is you decide. Some of you may want to take juice. That's strictly up to you. I think that you can take water. There's nothing usually about water that's in the fast issue. So that's up to you. If you want to talk about it more, you can talk to one of our elders after the service is over. You can talk to me. But we just want to go before the Lord and say, Lord, we're sincere. We've got some issues that we're facing here. We want to know what you think about it. We want to know how we should respond. We want to know what we should do. We're going to have a word of prayer. And Sean, where are you? I'm going to ask Sean to come up and lead us in a closing hymn. I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads for just a moment. Already I'm asking the Lord to put upon your heart what you should fast about. Is it Pastor Lisa? Is it someone else? Is it someone in your family? Is it yourself? Maybe you're bound up with some kind of an issue, pornography or an addiction to something else, and you just need something to break loose that issue that's happening in your life. There might be some of you who want to just fast for the church, for the needs that we have, for Byron and the girls and for other staff members and people who just are going through tough times right now. And Lord, I just pray right now that you would bring to mind what you want each of the individuals in this congregation to fast over. Father, we're not doing this so that we can look and say how super spiritual we are. We're just simply doing this to follow the will of God and say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. What do you want us to do, Lord? How do you want us to react? How do you want us to deal with the issues that we're facing right now? And Lord, we believe in you. We have faith in you. And we believe that your word says that as we believe in you, that you bring us understanding and clarity of thinking and mind. So Father, we just come before you right now and seek and ask for the faith of God. In Jesus' name, amen.